Please join me in the prayer of illumination. Lord, as we listen to your holy word, open your hearts to the power of your Spirit. Call us out of darkness and lead us into the marvelous light. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 1 through 10. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, sincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him for a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into the spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, for it stands in Scripture. See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then, you who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone is that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the might acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thank our brother in Christ for helping us to enter into worship, continue on the journey together. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for your word. We pray that whatever part of it needs to speak into our lives, need to touch us, that it would. So help us to keep open to how you're speaking into our lives. Help us to keep open to your love that is pouring into our lives right now. And in all things, we pray as your people. Amen. I remember a few years ago, there was an ad campaign, and it was an ad campaign for the Dairy Council. And it was an ad campaign to encourage people to drink milk. And they had all sorts of famous, well-known celebrities that had a milk mustache. They would have drunk a glass of milk. Rented lips. They would have drunk a glass of milk and had a milk mustache to show for it. Taking care of our bodies, doing things that are healthy. My question is, as those who are taking in that spiritual milk, the Word of God, what kind of mark are we bearing for the world to see? As Christians, we don't really have a milk mustache that people can see. But there are other things that we are called to share as those who are being fed by God's word. Love, gentleness, patience, kindness, those fruits of the Spirit in Galatians that Paul is writing to the early church. Those are a good place to start. What are we showing? What are we sharing as those who are claimed by God through Jesus Christ? This is something that came to mind also as I was watching a television special on religion in America. And I was mentioning this in our adult Sunday school class this morning. It was really a good one. And you know what? I'm not ashamed to say this. I had nothing to do with our adult Sunday school being so good today. So I invite you to go ahead and come and participate in that group next Sunday. It starts at 9:30. The exchange and the offering of ideas and the witnessing of faith was wonderful. But I was talking about this particular gathering that's described in this hour-long program on religion in America. By the way, can you cover religion in America in 1 hour? No, you can't. So it's pretty cursory, pretty much of a skimming, okay? And yet there's this group of individuals, and they are it started in England as a group of individuals, and now it's sprung up different places around the world, and they were talking about a particular gathering of these particular individuals in Nashville, Tennessee. There's an awful lot of churches in Nashville, Tennessee, but this is called Sunday Assembly. And the gathering is based on those individuals who don't really necessarily have a belief in God. And so they call it Sunday Assembly, and the individuals gather together, and God's never mentioned there. And yet, some of the things that they point to in this Sunday Assembly point to the fact that there is something churning and moving in their lives. They will never mention it, they'll never say that it's God, but there's something there that is pointing towards a goodness that is inherent in people. And we can get together and we can talk about that goodness and we can encourage one another to do good things without ever mentioning God. Now, the challenge that I have with that is that as they are gathering and as they are talking about doing good things and as they are gathered in community and as they're singing and as they're gathering on Sunday morning, what is that? Church! God's at work even when people are not paying attention. Even when they can't name it as God, even when they don't want to name it as God. Is God's love and grace at work? Yes. But what also struck me about these individuals is that they had had bad experiences with the Christian church. They had also had bad experiences with Christians. Experiences where they were told that they were bad, that they were going to burn in hell, and experiences where they wondered, where was this God of love and grace that they'd heard about? It struck me because it reminded me and convicted me also that we as the church are called to be those who reach out, called to be those who see others as children of God. Not to be exclusive, but rather to welcome each and every person who comes to our doors. We are here because of what God has done in our lives. Because of God's grace through the cross, certainly, and because of God's love for us through that sacrifice of Jesus. Because Jesus came and died, we are forgiven. And we are called to remember that. Since we are forgiven, God has offered that sacrifice of Jesus, that forgiveness for all people, right? Not just a small percentage, but for all people. I think that those who are in that Sunday assembly that don't want to mention God are simply angry at the church. And maybe they have good reason. I'm not sure. An individual's personal experience, what I've found, is that individual's experience. And I've had so many wonderful conversations over the years as a pastor. It's been humbling, in fact, to hear people pour out the things that have happened in their lives. It's a very sacred thing. It's a very holy thing. Because they're not really pouring it out to me. I just happen to be there. They're pouring it out to God in that gathering, in that place, in those holy moments. But for people who have had a bad experience with church, for people who have been damaged by the church, people who have been hurt by those who call themselves Christians, little Christs, We today, my friends, need to at least consider that. Because certainly while we gather to be encouraged here today, I mean, you've come to be encouraged, right? You haven't come for me to look you right in the eyes and point out there and say, "You're all going to hell!" Let's pray. That's probably not particularly encouraging, if that's what resonates in your head. We come knowing that we're already limited. We come fully aware of our sins. So it's not my job to remind you of those. Rather, it's my job to point to the one source of forgiveness for everything and anything that we've done. It is my job to point towards the source of grace that is unending in your life. It is my call and my conviction to point to that unending love of God in your world. Grace, forgiveness, love. Those are the things that we read about in God's Word. You know, it mentions about spiritual milk, images of milk in this particular reading. And certainly, whenever the kids were mentioning about what they liked to eat along with a glass of milk, my vote is peanut butter cookies. Because there's something about peanut butter cookies and milk that is just like that's probably what they give you when you get to heaven. A glass of milk and a plate of peanut butter cookies. You know, people would be going through their Bibles, where does it say that? Where does that say that? It says, in my Father's house, Jesus said, are many dwelling places, but it never says, and there's a plate of peanut butter cookies waiting for you. But nonetheless, there are wonderful good things that we can take in, and yet those are passing. The milk that is spoken of in Scripture today is the Word of God. It sustains us. It encourages us. It fills us. The milk is something that we are called to strive for. It doesn't reference, at least in this particular passage, that we are like newborns. It mentions that elsewhere in Scripture, doesn't it? And Paul encourages us to start eating meat, okay? Here, the milk is referenced as something that we crave. Just like a newborn craves milk and that nourishment, we are called to crave that Word of God, to start our days in the Word of God, to be in the Word of God, to read on it, reflect on it. And if you are like many other individuals, many brothers and sisters that I've spoken to and that I continue to find God putting me in front of, when we talk about the Bible, we're inevitably going to be talking about a translation that we find readable, and then where do we start? And this is a conviction that's been put on my heart just recently. Whenever we're taking in that spiritual milk, that Word of God, if you're not sure where to start, or if you're just kind of stymied, I'm not sure what to read in the Bible, read a passage that is familiar. How about that? Start there. Last Sunday, the scripture reading in worship was the 23rd Psalm. Quite familiar. Start there. John 3:16. I'm not up here with a wild wig shaking a sign back and forth at a sporting event, but start there. Romans chapter 8. Look at particular passages, or even go home and open up your Bible and look at the passage that we looked at in Sunday worship. That's at least a starting point. What I find is that whenever you open it up and you're reading something that's familiar, then maybe you start reading what's before it. What's after it? You see what I'm saying? And it's just like taking in that milk, drinking in God's grace and love. Now, there's another image that's mentioned here also. And for some reason, as our brother was reading it, I was paying attention. I really was. The pastor's mind never daydreams or wanders around. Never. Always focused. But for some reason, whenever he was talking about being living stones, I couldn't help but think, Flintstones, be the Flintstones. Come on. You know that song, okay? We're not going to sing it in worship. It's not in our hymnal, not in any hymnal that I ever know of. But I couldn't help but think about that. Living stones, you know? Okay? Flintstones? Get it? All right. Maybe not. But I started thinking about that. That's the way my mind works, so pray for me. We're living stones. So, in other words, we take in that nourishment from God, and then we become a foundation upon which God can build. Now, there's a cornerstone. In Isaiah, clear back in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, this cornerstone is referenced. Who is our cornerstone as little Christ? I gave it away there, as the church. Jesus. That's our cornerstone, okay? Now, a cornerstone is not just a stone that provides strength, but it also provides a form for everything else that takes place. So if Jesus is our cornerstone, and we are then living stones built upon that cornerstone, we are called to follow how Jesus spoke, taking that in. We are called to act how Jesus acted. We are called to be that representation of Christ as those living stones built as the church in the world. And that is our call today. We take in that nourishment. Certainly, we take in the Word of God. But it's not simply about us. It's about what God seeks to do then through us in our lives as His church. Is this any particular person's church here? No. We may say it's my church, but it really isn't. It's God's church. People will say to me, oh, I want to come to your church. And I say, folks, I do not own a church. I serve there. I'm appointed there. Sometimes chief cook and bottle washer, not cook, bottle washer at least. But it's not my church, it's God's. And we are all called to remember that as we seek to be those living stones built upon the cornerstone, Jesus, nourished by the Word of God. This past week, a number of things happened that reminded me of how the church works. A brother in Christ called me on the phone, and he told me about a guy in his work crew, a young man who had triple bypass surgery, was in the hospital. He called me. We had some prayer. I went and visited and had a very brief prayer. I came to find out that this man's fiance, who had had the surgery, had been friends, Facebook friends, with a member here for 2 years, but had since met her now, since her fiance was in the hospital. Then another member of this gathering of living stones, nourished by the milk of the Scripture, went and prayed with that couple and offered them the hope of God at work. God has not forgotten them, even though they're going through difficult times. That's a description of living stones working together as the body of Christ. You get it? Each of us doing our part. Each of us seeking to be part of a greater good. None of us having to do it all ourselves, but all of us pulling together, using our resources, allowing ourselves to be Christ for whoever God puts in front of us to be the church. That is the church. And you are called to be part of it. Part of it. Not all of it, part of it. My question to you is, do you hear these words of call this morning from the Scripture? Let me share it once again. Once you were not a people. You were aimless. You were wandering around. But now you are God's people. Whose people are you? Whose people are you? Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What have you received from God?
Mercy.
How does that make you feel? How does that speak into your life? Join with me in a few moments of reflection as living stones, as God's church, and how God is calling us to be Christ in the world. Join with me in prayer.